We got DPD in the building, Death on Dummies.
How y'all doing, everybody?
Yeah.
How about y'all go ahead and introduce yourself?
My name is Dove. I'm the more pale one of the group. I'm Lithuanian Cuban. I'm out here repping DPD to the end of me.
My name is Kalo Day. I'm originally from Eugene, Oregon. I'm just coming up here in Vancouver for like the last 4 years and doing me with everybody else.
Feel me. I go by the name of Heihachi Black. I represent Portland, Oregon, but I grew up in San Bernardino, California. So, you know, I got to show love for the IE one time.
My name is DPD Level 5. I go by DPD Lame. And yeah, I've been repping with these guys for a little bit and their energy is just beautiful. So, yeah.
And last but definitely not least, you got Sun Ray Toomsie in the building, chilling like a villain from Vannyville, Washington, small town.
Yeah.
What's up?
So how did you guys come together?
We all went to, all of us went to Camas High, except for this cat right here. Swerve, Mr. Mountain View over here. We all from the other side of the river.
I only went there for like 1 year.
Yeah, but I knew you from there. So, you know, we all from Canvas. But, like, we didn't really kick it in high school or none of that. Then, like, after high school, we all were making music on our own. And then all of a sudden, like, me and this guy were talking. This guy being Trees. Heihachi. Yeah, we were talking about making music. And then I was with these other fools right here, Kalo Dan, Sunray Tunes. We were making, we put together this tribe called Tribe Livendi Tekka. More on that later. Yeah. But, we were just all making music on our own, kind of, and we connected because we mess with each other's sounds heavily. So from there, we kind of put together our Righteous Minds Records idea, like our record label, so we could get legit about our own stuff and not, you know, just stay on our independent-ish. And then from there, we kind of said, well, how do we brand ourselves?
Yeah, pulling in people, doing the work.
And Dead Phone Dummies was born.
Dead Phone Dummies.
Dead Phone Dummies, so... After they had decided to be Dead Phone Dummies this last summer when I started listening to their music, because I knew before they had even tried to pull together into like more of a collective as even just Tribe Livendi Tekka, the three of them, and Mike L sound, like that's what I would listen to my senior year graduating after they had already left the high school. So being able to sit back and watch the process they go through, which it is just... very pure more than anything, like the amount of energy that they are willing to not just invest in themselves but into each other, and that just makes it a very positive thing to want to work with. So this last summer I got involved with just mostly just spending time with them, and then eventually by the end of the summer they're like, yo, look, you're dummified, mummified, practically wrapped in toilet paper, like your phone's always dead now and you always got some ash on your shirt, so it's official. So
DPD,
yeah, I'm saying,
yeah. How do you define yourself collectively into your music? How do you perceive yourself, or how do you want people to perceive your music collectively as a group?
Honestly, we call it hippie vibe, we call it hippie banging, and it's just not so much under one kind of circle of influence. You know, we all come from different styles and we all got different flavors of music, and the way that kind of circulates, it builds this like what can I say, like
a story,
cultural garden of sorts, that's bringing up funk, that's bringing up, you know, all sorts of different genres that we're aiming for. So hip hop is the platform, basically, you know, how I view it is like what we're starting on, and it's about evolving and it's about keeping things moving.
It's just more so like our way of, like, you feel me, expressing our emotions, and like, you feel me, like, everybody got their own way how they grew up, but you feel me?
We had our way of how we grew up,
and you feel me? This hippie bang stuff is just how we define.
And that's the cool part. Like, everybody got their own style, and we all just, that's what makes DPD.
It's a tribe vibe for sure. It's like when one person is done running the show, somebody will step up for the moment, and they're the chief for the second, and there's not really too much of too many chiefs, not enough Indians type deal going on, because everybody gonna take the reins at one point, because everybody who's involved as a leader, they all got that, like, they want
to drive and determination.
Yeah, right. They want to go a little bit hippie and a little bit stupid. So
I mean, shit, there's areas where, you feel me, all of us lack, because none of us are perfect, but then there's areas where we lack, you feel me, the next person pick up. So
right, because you're only as strong as your weakest link, honestly.
That's right.
And that's one of the reasons I've been actually, I enjoy messing with these individuals, just because, like, when it comes to somebody's strengths, they're down to just pick it up and run with it. Especially
we call it the God body.
God body.
And we got arms that do the reaching, we got legs that do the running, we got brains that do the thinking. It's what it is. Yeah, God body.
Voltron. Voltron on every level.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, how we want people to see our music is, you know, it's Deadphone Dummies. It's, you know, we want to be kind of off the wall with how we kind of...
Up the collective conscience.
Exactly.
I like that, collective conscious.
Raise the stakes a little bit, yeah.
Any rap icons that y'all particularly look up to?
I'm really particular when it comes to my music, you know. Like, they call me All Light Being Sun God Day. I like to look over a lot of things, and I like to just... The human body is just... Advanced. So, but when it comes to icons, so no, icons I don't listen to music. Exactly. Basically, thank you, though. I don't really listen to music from like a single person. You know, I don't really have my own collection. I do like Lupe Fiasco. I like the message that he tries to deliver and put out. I feel like I got a little bit of flowetry from T.I. You know, I admire the South. You know, but that's just coming from a little boy from the Northwest.
Mike. I don't know. I kind of got like a, you feel me?
No, when I say icon, I'm just saying like people that you look up to that motivate you to say like, I want to make music too.
Oh shit, if that's the case,
I don't necessarily mean like, okay, this is a guy or this is...
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, well,
this is somebody you kind of idolize in a way where you like, okay, he's...
A good role model.
Yeah, yeah, he's somebody I look up to, or okay, he makes me want to make music as well. Or do what he done, or something like that. I mean,
of course,
sort.
Aside from the Kendrick and Coles, you feel me, because, you feel me, those are just... automatically should just be mentioned, but I think Absol and Nipsey Hussle is my favorite too, because I like Absol's message, you feel me? He really just like, he goes against the grain, and at the same time, he always gives you some knowledge. But so, Nipsey Hussle, he like, you feel me? He that real like boss type dude, you feel me? He ain't gonna take no answers from nobody but himself, and that's kind of how I see my group, you feel me? We don't take no answers from nobody but ourselves, you feel me? We are our own juggernaut and our own functioning engine, so that's kind of how I look at it. Those are my two favorites.
Man, I get lost for days talking about artist after artist, man. But look, let me throw a couple out there. Three Stacks, take me back to like Funkadelic with the knee deep.
There it is.
Take me like around the circle with Nas, of course. Ghostface Killer.
That's what I was gonna say.
I love that head hunting like East sound. I definitely vibed off that. But take me over there to the West Side real quick. We got DJ Quick, who I fucks with heavy, motherfucking. Let me think about this.
You're
shit.
Missing one, bro. Doom, bro.
Oh my God. Doom. Give it to the old dude, bro. Give it to the old dude. Who else can we throw in the mix? Someone gonna throw out Drake.
So like
I ain't gonna throw out Drake.
Well, like, so
he said not Drake.
Wow. So for me, like, I'd actually like to say I'm a little bit of a backpacker in a sense. Like, I don't listen to somebody who people are going to try to tell me is super good. I'd like to just listen to somebody who I can feel like is good. Yeah. So, like, for me, it was funny. Somebody said they're not going to say Drake, but somebody who I'd actually gotten to know through songs that he did with Drake was somebody way back when called Nicholas F. And he's out of Richmond, Virginia. And the type of gutter music he makes that really, like, where it's like, where not everything's pretty. And it's not necessarily about the fact that, like, I got into the club and I had... No, I had child support to pay. I didn't buy no extra bottles, but whatever. But aside from like certain backpack artists, like people I was backpacking on, like that's what I like about this group is like, shoot, like some of their individual content is just crazy inspiring more than anything. Because it's like, I know this person and he's an MC that is not going to be intimidated by somebody else who's already started running the track or running the race, and they're gonna start sprinting their heart out. So yeah.
I mean, shit, there's just so many different aspects to this whole group that, I mean, you're just going to get a completely different variety of the artists.
These guys put me on the game. Yeah. As far as music.
It's definitely a lot.
That's just rap genre that we're talking about, too.
Yeah, that's what I was mainly thinking. If we go outside the rap genre, I do have a lot of funky soul. That things that have really influenced me, individuals.
I know, honestly, really like me personally. I grew up on a lot of gospel when I was a kid. So
straight up,
you feel me? Gospel was like a huge, huge, heavy influence on like my music. Like, I don't know. My mom used to listen to a bunch of like Kirk Franklin. And then, Kirk Franklin. She used to listen to a lot of John P. Key, Hezekiah Walker. You feel me? All of them. You feel me? I'm low key get on game when it comes to gospel music, and it just get that soul aspect to it. So I wish I could have grew up on some kind of like music like that, because that's just like it's classical, and then it gives like you feel me, it gives you a whole new perspective on how music should be made. And how you should listen to it and all that kind of stuff. Like sonically, it's just completely different. It opened up your mind. So I don't know.
What is real hip hop to you? To you guys?
Death on Dummies.
Authenticity.
DPDGAF.
Authentic.
Yeah, I think it's when you're going out there to express something that hasn't been expressed yet. Yeah, I mean, it could be personal to you. It could be an energy in your city. It could be somebody down the street that you know who's going through something, and like, you going through the motions of putting something together that embodies that energy and that essence and that perspective. To me, I don't really go with the whole notion of like listen to music for like a super hot beat and you rap super fast. I need some perspective, bro. I need you to be talking about something that I listen to for your lyrics more so personally.
Something I can relate to.
Yeah.
If I was listening to your song for the beat, I didn't like it that much. I sat there and tried to listen to your words more than anything first. So
if I were to answer that question, I'd have to go like all the way back, because I mean I'm lucky, I feel like I'm a hip-hop head, and you're gonna have to go all the way back to like when it was originally created. It was like, you feel me? Yeah, DJ why Cool it was created Herc. So you feel me, it was created based off, you feel me, a movement of people being oppressed, and then you feel me, they use that in order to
better themselves.
It wasn't on top even of that, spread knowledge, you feel me, give people something, you feel me,
positive about them, have a good time,
exactly, mm-hmm. that they weren't experiencing or receiving in the mainstream. So you feel me, when it comes down to, I feel like hip hop should just be more so like
about the story.
One of the things that I have to say is, you know, knowledge is God. Straight and up. So it's when it comes down to hip hop, it's word of mouth, and we're just spreading words of knowledge and stories of knowledge. You know, if you're not empowering somebody with a story or an idea,
you're tearing them down.
If you're not a part of the solution, you're a part of the problem.
Exactly.
Like Rakim, bro, he's like one of my favorite, because he
started his own thing,
bro. On top of that, like he was one of those ones where he uplifted your consciousness as you're listening to him, because he would literally put you on game or something that you didn't even know about. So it's like that's kind of what hip hop is about to me, if you ask me.
It's learning something without having to go through something.
Exactly, you feel me? Learning from a whole another person's experience, and you feel me, being able to make your own conclusion based off that.
Can't say
because exactly. you can learn from somebody else's mistakes and your own, like, you know, like you can always learn from your own mistakes, but if you can learn from somebody else's, like, you're winning the war.
Exactly.
You're saving time.
Yes.
You're
saving time.
But then at the same time, you feel me,
experiences everything, because you got to go through it yourself.
Exactly.
To be able to speak about something or talk about something, you have to go through it.
But being able to put yourself in that third person aspect.
Or put somebody, because if you can put yourself in somebody else's shoes, then you can feel, you can see and feel how people feel.
Yeah, but that's an ability. It's called empathy, and most people don't have that.
And they really don't.
You know, I think this new generation that's coming up, a lot of them do have that ability to a certain extent, but you know, you get lost searching in the web and the internet, and
to be negative. Like,
well, yeah. this world, we're just doing,
it's hard to be, it's so keep much, that positive mindset, because every time you turn around, it's somebody's dying or
straight
it's
up,
nothing,
dude, I was just about to say,
nothing, it's thing. Nothing uplifting.
There's so much like desensitization going on in the media, just music, you feel me, the TV, the news, like all that shit, everything, even the video games that we play. I was just at, you feel me, playing Call of Duty at the crib, and like just sitting there thinking like, either they, you feel me, mentally preparing me for something, or they just trying to.
That reminds me of some bars. I'm out of space, and everything around me is empty, is out of space. These rappers trying to stay wet while running a caucus race, and everything inside of me is telling me I'm different, but I ain't. In the morning, I eat cereal, watch the morning news just to scowl at Imperials. Same always happening. Police with violent actions, people's pissed reactions, little propaganda, and a man who shot some 10-year-olds. Every day on the news.
Man, that's
it's sad, but like, and they quick to promote it. Like, I feel like that's if money. There was actually something, an outlet where people could actually be positive and try to keep that positive mind frame, people would actually try to keep that mind frame, because it's so easy to be negative. They're like, I don't want to be good no more. I don't want to be nice, because people take it for granted. Well, stop being nice to those people that's taking your niceness for granted.
It's that quick dollar.
Don't change your character because nobody accepts you for who you are. Because you know who you are. You're here today. Because some people don't be showing up. I be feeling like I'm walking with zombies.
Exactly. Honestly. Yeah, you don't surround yourself with zombies. Smartphone zombies. Surround yourself with some righteous minds.
Smartphone zombies. You
feel me? Smartphone zombies versus
deafphone zombies. You got a lot of empty souls or empty portals that's walking around here. And you feel me? Those empty portals, it's like, it's easy to fall into that. You feel me? They look, even if they don't even have it set up for you, bro, it's just like birds of a feather flock together. So it's like whoever you're around, that's who you are. And you feel me? I'm lucky that I found a group of people to where I'm like,
they feel good.
You feel me? They constantly push
you
me to do something else instead of just remaining stagnant. And like, you feel me? That's what it's truly about. Finding those people around you that's going to like push you to be innovative and push you to like, you feel me? Go to your fullest extent and do everything that you say you want
to
do.
Man, and you got to hold on to that because you don't never know when it could go.
Like me, I'm
in love with the real. Everything that has to do with real, I'm in love with it. Because it's hard to hold on to because people just change every day. Like, they think they know what real is, but they don't. It's like, it's hard. When I see it, I like to appreciate it and let the people know, you know, because why? Why not?
My mom used to tell me, she was like, you know it's real when, you feel me, they don't, you feel me, they just do it because they want to. You feel me? When there's no, like, extra incentive involved, that's how you know it's real. You feel me? When they just do it out the kindness of their heart or just because they want to see, like, you feel me, those are the type of people you need to keep around you. And those are, you feel me, the people you want to associate yourself with because they're going to have your back through thick and thin.
If your friends don't call you out, those aren't friends.
Hey, and that's right. Real, too.
If your friends can't speak with me when you're getting out of line or try to, like, pick you up when you're down, try to pick, like, put you back on track,
bro.
Then you got the wrong friends.
I can't tell you how many times we had, you feel me, discussions where, you feel me, we don't have to call each other out. You feel me? Somebody calling me out of my bullshit.
Life itself is distraction, bro.
Oh God.
Life itself.
But you got to be able to take that.
Yeah, you got to be able to and overcome it.
Yeah, you got to be able to take that. Like
anything, anything can be done with two things. As far as I'm concerned, what I heard was teamwork and preparation. If you got the right amount of manpower or mind power or soul power and you prepare well enough and you prepare
well
enough.
Because you got to have the right mind.
Well, that's part of the preparation. Yeah. So as soon as you got your soldiers and y'all start training, you know what I'm saying, you're going to be battle ready. So whatever the test is, make sure you up to it.
What's that African proverb Dave was telling me about yesterday?
Two men should not fight in a burning building.
And that's right. That just kind of like reiterates is America's that boiling pot that's just got everybody feeling some sort of way that's getting right under your skin, that's pulling all this out because money's the outlook and that's the go-to and that's what we all got to get. We all got to get that bread. We all got to keep surviving and we all got to maintain. And, definitely in this burning household, that's how I feel hip-hop should be held down, you know. Don't start fighting in a burning house. Two men shouldn't start fighting, so.
Straight up.
Well, Trump started the fire. So.
Yeah. Looking at like that.
You know they ain't going to arrest him for arson or
anything. But at the same time, it's not about who started
but
the fire.
But he opened a lot of people's eyes.
Put
too.
That shit out. It's
how we're
going
to react to the fire.
He's also not lying.
I don't care about who started the fire until after I'm safe.
For real, that fire has been here for a minute. Trump, he didn't start the fire, he just adding fuel to the fire. You feel me? It's up to us to figure out how we're going to put this fire out. You feel me?
That's the thing that get me.
That's the number one problem.
A lot of people look past that, this president or this guy, this new person came in and started this fire.
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Anything that you see burning that has to do with the government,
it's
his fault.
But they need prophets like us to come extinguish and lift them up.
It happens.
They need it. They need us, bro.
I mean, you need prophets and you feel me? In my eyes, you need prophets and you need those people that's going to be willing to, you feel me, strap up and you feel
walk
me,
on both sides
on the front
knowing
line.
That it's deep.
Exactly, you feel me? Walk on both sides when you know that it's deep and front line it. You feel me? You need your soldiers, too.
You need a village.
But Donald Trump made open the eyes for the lack of people that saying that the things that never existed. Like, oh, race something don't exist. Well, obviously, you never been in my shoes or people that I grew up with shoes because it's every day. Even if it's little.
You just feed into the gimmick when you say stuff like that.
It's a closed-minded.
They just passed a law that you cannot... that it is legal for an employer to not hire you if you have dreadlocks, because historically dreadlocks are looked at as anti-American. And it's, in a sense, it's like I have locks, and
there's no way that's the
this
law
is this right it is there that is a law.
No, they did. They
passed and they passed that law, and I have locks, you know. And the only way I got my locks is I stopped combing my hair. I don't twist them. I didn't do extra stuff. I don't put stuff in them. I just stopped combing my hair. I washed my hair. I'm African American. My hair is very curly. This is just how my hair grows. And it's, for someone to tell me that for the way my hair grows is anti-American, I feel like that's anti-me. You know,
right?
I'm only
human. And America's supposed to be us. This is the land of the free, but we ain't even free.
Man.
So it's like it's like irony.
They're saying the court said it's not racial discrimination.
Yeah, the court said it's not racial discrimination.
The court is boo boo,
boo boo.
That's beside the point, though.
And that, there's a lack of that too.
Because
if we want something, there shouldn't be no big discussion. It's what the people want. Give us what we want. Like, exactly. Don't make it difficult. Yeah. They make it harder than what it has to be. Like, we say we want something, and we go through the process, da da da, and we still don't get no answers. Man. Like, why are you in the position of power if you're not going to do what is right?
You know, power worries about power. Power needs power to have power.
But also make sure you swerving that propaganda, because they're going to make you feel emotional on both sides.
I think we just need to remember that, like, as a people, we are that power. You know, when it comes down to it,
collectively,
we can,
if we realize the potential that we have,
that we want as a number,
collective,
as a large number.
If we come together, like, bro, they say one person can make a difference, but honestly, that one person standing up, being himself, and knowing that he got to stand out and lead the people. Then,
yeah, that one person's going to lead a million people.
Exactly. It's a chain reaction.
And can we, like, do this in a way that doesn't involve the media forcing us to, like, get together and go do something? You know what I'm saying? Like, back in the old day where Marvin Gaye had to come out on the block and ask, what's going on? Yeah. And you know what I'm saying? Everyone got the word for you. You know what I'm saying? That's how you handle things in the village, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what kept it strong.
Because we all got to live together. Like, collectively,
people who are there to know what's going on.
Collectively, we are a human race. I don't see colors. I don't see your religion. I don't see nothing. I see a soul. I see a human being at the end of the day. You know? Like, people let those things separate us and define us. But it's just who you are. Like, it's how you grew up. Like, you are who your ancestors were.
Yeah.
There's no discussion of that.
Exactly. You
might not see all your ancestors in you, but they're in you.
They're in your DNA.
And it's time today, green is the only color that we need to be
seeing. Yeah, indeed.
But if the dollar crashed, that ain't the color we gonna need.
Yeah, we still rich in spirit. Either way,
if the dollar crashed, that's if it crashed. But at the same time, people need to eat right now.
Where do you guys get your inspiration from?
Me, I like to say that I can pull my inspiration from a lot of different things. I like to view myself as a real creative individual. Sun, God, day, God of creation and whatnot, you know. Well, God is God of creation. I'm not, you know. Anyways, but I can pull creation from things like women to doodling pictures out in somewhere that looks kind of mystical to me. All I need is really some Mama Gaia around me, some greenery, some scenery, a little bit of ocean, some sand or something. Man, old music. Anything that stems directly from blues. I mean, I like rock a little bit, you know. I don't...
Because you can hear, like, I promise you, when you listen to that oldness, you can listen to the soul.
Yeah,
exactly. The feeling, like, music back then, you can actually feel it.
Because people got into it. They put their soul into the music. Because, you know, not everybody got found, so you had to be good, you know. Like, you got found by being on radios or, you know, going around and doing shows. That's how you got big. And so... You know, now we have the internet, you know, things have changed a little bit, but you had to put your soul into that, and I thrive on that soulfulness, and I feel like I can get that same thing from just, like, you know, watching birds or something, you know. You know, I'm an artist in, like, a lot of aspects. I like to doodle.
And see beauty in everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Beautiful. Things that are beautiful, you know, give me inspiration and want to make sound, you know, because that's just one way that I can portray the way
Man,
I feel.
Man, sound itself, any kind of sound, because you can make music out of anything. That's how I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's why, like you said...
Just like you reminded me, there was some birds near a house I used to live, and they got red feathers on their shoulders, and they do this. They do this call. They go tiki tiki tiki, and I realized that I could make that a flow. I could be like, who could stop me? Wanted to draw me? I'm gonna fly me, ever defy me? Like, and I just make that like all the things around me just it's like
rhythm, man.
Just turn into music.
Rhythm,
you know.
That's why I'm glad I said we're talking about inspiration, because one person that I'm inspired by is Mr. Green. Like the way he's original and he takes original sounds and make it beautiful.
Who's like, Mr.
That's,
Green?
That's crazy.
Who Mr. Green?
That's the dude.
He's gonna change the world, but
who?
Not if I do it first.
I'm just still trying to figure out who Mr. Green is. Mr. Green,
hey, just look him up, bro.
Mr. Green sound like he sell herb or something. I need to talk to him. I need to talk to Mr. Green.
Where's your inspiration come from, Cheese?
Honestly, I would have to say my family and friends. Like, my kid, my son, he's definitely, like, one of my biggest inspirations.
Shout out, Junior.
Making sure he, you know, he had the best things in life. My homies, definitely. Not just the ones, these ugly dudes that's sitting in the studio, but, you feel me, my friends that... You know, I got outside of this group. My homies that I got back in California still. So, you know, I got a lot of inspirations as far as, like, personally. But I don't know. Just trying to, like, I'm a real innovative person. Like, I don't know not every idea that I come up with, but some of the ideas that I come up with, those are some of the biggest things that inspire me, because I just want to see them come into reality. Like, I feel like that's low-key, like, some little hidden sorcery type deal to where you can make an idea come into reality. Not everybody can do that. And we were talking about it earlier.
Manifestation.
Yeah, I was about to say, we were talking about manifestation earlier, so I don't know. The power...
Speaking it to existence.
Yeah, the power and the art of manifestation is definitely one of my biggest inspirations, because it's low-key fun. It's a thrill.
Right, because our words is really power, bro.
It is.
And, the words could be either negative or positive. Yep. And it could be love. It could be hate.
Words be right.
Like, there's two paths. There really is. It's like, put your seatbelt on and let's go for a ride.
Yep, you dig?
Personally, I think I get my main inspiration from just emotion. Just anything I feel. These guys around me, obviously, too, they always hit me with some crazy perspectives that I just gotta, like, always keep, like, I don't know, like, I really feel like up in the collective consciousness, like, is something that's, like, a mission of mine. And if I have, like, 5 like-minded heads working on the same idea as me, that's already a lot more powerful than just mine. Yeah. And then once those 5 heads have listeners and other friends who get in on it, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. From that, like you said, the manifestation power.
Right, and you all got the same vision.
Exactly.
You all want the same outcome.
It takes a minute.
Hey, and wait, this is a random side note that, like, it's like one of a low-key theory that I had came up with. That's why I feel like TV is so powerful, because you can take an idea on TV and, like, put that shit on TV, and it can be broadcasted towards millions of people. And as soon as, like, you feel me, not even, like, half of those people have to entertain that idea. But even if only a good third of those people entertain whatever idea that it is that you put on television, like, you literally have just, like, it kind of spread like a little virus. You feel me? Now, you feel me, one good third of these people that just watched this is now infected with your idea.
That was part one of a 2-part episode featuring DPD, Death on Dummies. Tune in next Friday, March 17th for part 2. In the meantime, you can check out other previous shows at kboo.fm and check out more of my work. I am Khalid Mosley. Have a great day.